Good to have you with us this morning. Ready for Christmas? Oh, well, glad you're that excited about it. All right, hopefully you're ready for this morning. All right, let's take one day at a time. It's good to be here this morning to bring the word to you. Jesus came in a moment of time. God had a plan. He knows the beginning from the end, and at the right time of man's civilization, languages, governments, he came right then to, at the right time, to bring salvation to the world. And we've been enjoying this for some 2,000 years since Jesus went back to heaven. And our Christmas traditions, sometimes they can relegate Jesus to a baby in a manger. And that's it. Jesus remains to be a baby in a manger. Many people, Christians who are religious, never get Jesus in their minds as a man who walks the streets of Palestine. He's a baby. But he came as a baby for a reason. He came under the law so that he might redeem those under the law. So he became like us, the same way that we live in this world. And so by faith in him, we now become the children of God. We become his children. And so I could stop right there and say, Merry Christmas to all of us, right? It's a Merry Christmas. God has saved us. And we thank God for that. But this morning, I don't want to talk about how he came, where he came, and the story of the baby in a manger. You'll get enough of that this weekend. Today I want to talk about why he came. Let's focus on why he came and the impact he made in this world and the impact he's made in our lives as believers and what he's done to change our life, and we thank him for it, and we want to talk about that this morning. If you'll turn to Luke chapter 19, we'll begin to read this morning and start this message, Why Jesus Came. Luke chapter 19 and verse 1. He entered Jericho and passed through, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. Verse 3, this first phrase, underline it if you can. Keep mind on it. And he was seeking to see who Jesus was. But on account of the crowd, he could not, because he was small in stature. He was a short man. So he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and he said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today. So he hurried, came down, and received him joyfully. And when you read that, you can say that Jesus received him and Zacchaeus received Jesus. Verse 7, and when they saw it, they all grumbled. That's the church people, right? We church people know how to grumble, right? When things don't go our way and things just aren't the way we think they ought to be, we know how to grumble. And so Jesus is helping this lost man, and the church is grumbling. He has gone in to be the guest of a man who is a sinner. That's why they grumbled. And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord. Now I want you to notice, we don't have record that Jesus told him to do that. Right? He just stood on his own, and he said this, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone, And of course, that was a dumb thing to say. He had defrauded people. He said, I'm going to give them fourfold what I have taken from them unjustly. And Jesus said today, now notice in this verse, Jesus doesn't rebuke him for giving. Jesus doesn't say, oh, that's okay, you don't need to give anything. What Jesus says is, today salvation has come to this house. Isn't that amazing? Jesus is putting his stamp of approval. Something inside Zacchaeus caused him to do it. Of course, we know that to be the Spirit of God. Since he's also a son of Abraham, he's a Jew, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost, or to save the lost. This is my Christmas text, Luke 19. And so from there, we need to realize the context here is that Zacchaeus is a tax collector. And worse than that, he is a chief tax collector. He's a publican, not a Republican. Don't go there. He's a publican, all right? He's a chief tax collector. Zacchaeus, being a tax collector, when the Jews referred to tax collector, they were Jews who worked for the Roman government to collect taxes. And they made life hard for the Jews of that day, because what they were allowed to do is receive the tax that the Roman government said was due. Then they were able to charge anything above that that they could get out of everybody. And they became very rich. And therefore the Jews hated these tax collectors. And when they would list sinners, if they'd talk about sinners, they would make a list of sinners, and they would have murderers, then they would have adulterers, and then they would have women of the street, and they would call them sinners. But publicans had their own name. It was underneath everybody. Publicans. And they looked down on them with disgust, and they hated them. And so Zacchaeus, he was a poster child of immorality. He had made lots of money. Some of it he did not earn. He took more than he should have. And he became wealthy. He was part of the rich and famous. He had earned some notoriety within the Roman government. And he had climbed the corporate ladder. Success followed him. He was part of Jericho's movers and shakers. I learned, unfortunately, it was an unpleasant situation that I learned what a mover and shaker is. When I came from Indiana down here 10 years ago, I didn't know what a mover and shaker was. But then I all of a sudden had a guy in the church I was pastoring, and he came up and he said, I'm going to let you know we're leaving the church. We're going to go where the movers and shakers are. And I said, well, thank you. Appreciate that. Come on, folks, liven up. That was a joke. Okay? I told you, if you come and just stare at me, I'll do a funeral service right here. Right? And so I said, thank you. He goes, we're going to go to a church that we can get excited about. Oh, okay. Thank you very much. Well, if Zacchaeus was a religious man, he's not saved, he would go to the church where the movers and shakers are. That's where he goes. And so we can see from this passage that this wealthy man, this man who was at the top of his game, this man who was a mover and a shaker, this man who was part of the rich and the famous, he must have missed something, because verse 3 tells us that he sought to see who Jesus was. So here we have a man who has everything the world has to offer, but yet he's climbing a tree to see a man who had nothing that this world had to offer. So I think we're safe to start imagining or thinking, why was Zacchaeus seeking Jesus? Why was that happening? And that's what I want to talk about this morning. I don't think it's too far of a stretch for us to realize that it could possibly be that Zacchaeus was unhappy. That Zacchaeus felt like he was missing something. that there was a peace or a joy missing in his life. And somehow he had come to an idea that this man Jesus had something to offer him. I don't know what it was. We'll talk about that in a moment. But see, Zacchaeus had social security. He had financial security. He had job security. But he didn't have eternal security. There was something missing. If Zacchaeus were living today, he would be like I was a couple of years ago. I went to the town center mall, walking through one of the department stores. It might have been Dillard's. And I'm walking through there at Christmas, going to get the perfect gift. And I'm looking and I'm hunting. And all of a sudden, the music comes over the sound system. I can't get no satisfaction. And so I'm sitting there and I'm walking and I can't get no. And Mick Jagger just letting it go. And I'm starting to sing it with him. So I'm shopping, I can't get no satisfaction. I'm saying, wait a minute, that's not really a good song. I'm not sure I should be singing this. But it's Christmas time and I can't get... See, Zacchaeus would be the man singing, I can't get no satisfaction. Right? And let me tell you, 2,000 years later, this world still can't get no satisfaction. And it could possibly be that Zacchaeus had no satisfaction, and he climbs a tree to see a man who didn't have anything that this world says you have to have to live. And so with that in mind, my focus of this message this morning is not about Christmas and Jesus in a manger and a baby. You'll get that this weekend. My focus is, why did he come? Not how did he come, not where did he come, not the miracle. No, just why did he come? Because in verse 10 it tells us, he came to seek and to save that which is lost. That's why he came. And so let me give you a story. I want to give you a scenario. It's a fictional scenario. And for us sophisticated people, it's a scenario, all right? So let me give you a scenario for you educated folk of what might have happened to cause this rich man to climb a tree to see a man who didn't have anything, it appeared. Zacchaeus may have well been the CEO of Jericho, the top dog. I can see him in his top floor office. I can see him as he is in that room. And you've seen those big offices where the walls are made of oak or a walnut. Pure walnut. And when you open the door, you smell rich leather. And I can see Zacchaeus as he's backed in his leather chair, looking out the big window overlooking Jericho. And I can imagine as he's puffing on this big, long, black cigar. And his diamond ring is glimmering. And his Rolex watch is ticking perfect time. And he's just thinking in the mid-afternoon, life is good. And all of a sudden, there's a knock on the door. Come in, Zacchaeus says. The door opens and a man enters. And he said, Matthew, how you doing? He said, good, Zacchaeus. I have to tell you something. Oh, come on in. What can I do for you, Matthew? He says, well, I don't know how to say this, Zacchaeus, but I'm turning in my 2-week notice. I'm quitting. And Zacchaeus said, wait a minute. What do you mean? He said, well, he said, all I can tell you is, Zacchaeus, he said, I met Jesus. And he said, man, I have the peace I've never had in my life. He's changed my life completely. And Zacchaeus, I'm going to go follow him. In fact, if you don't need me now, I'd like to leave right now. And Zacchaeus says, are you sure you want to do that, Matt? You make a lot of money. You're my top collector. Yes, I do. I'm going. He says, well, okay, if you really think you want to go, you can go. You've been a good employee. I wish you well. And he shuts the door, and Zacchaeus turns around his leather chair, takes a big puff out of that big cigar, and he thinks, he'll be back. He'll be back. So the next day he gets in and he realizes, I've got to go take care of Matthew's route. And so Zacchaeus gets in his big BMW, the M series, you know, the fast ones. And so Zacchaeus gets in his BMW and he takes off and he heads over to Matthew chapter 5. He pulls up to the address and sees the house and he gets out and he walks up and he knocks on the door. And the lady answers the door, and he can see there's problems here. This lady, she's very thin and frail, and her eyes are set back in her head, and they're dark. And she says, what can I do for you? And he goes, my name is Zacchaeus, and I'm here to collect the taxes. Matthew's no longer working for me, and I'll be collecting the taxes for the next couple of months until I get a replacement. And she says, oh, sir, you've got to help me. I've been sick for 12 years. I've got a blood disease. I have leukemia. I have gone everywhere. I have gone to Mayo Clinic. I've gone to all the doctors. I've gone to the quacks. I've gone to the healers. I've spent every dime I have. I don't have any money for you today. If you'll come back in a few days, I'll have some money for you. And Zacchaeus says, well, ma'am, I'm sorry to hear that, but I'm going to do one better for you. I'm going to come back in 2 months. But in 2 months, I need your money. Thank you, Zacchaeus. Thank you very much. He gets back into his car and he takes on over to a town called Gadara. He pulls up to the house and he sees that the fence is broken. He sees that the house needs painting. The grass hasn't been cut in a while. But he walks up to the door and knocks on the door. And a lady answers the door and she, very rough. She's got a black eye, hair all messed up, clothes are torn. She's got a tear on her cheek. Zacchaeus says, she goes, what can I do for you? And he goes, my name is Zacchaeus. I'm here to collect taxes. Matthew doesn't work for me anymore, and so I'm going to collect them. He said, oh, sir, you don't understand. You don't understand. My husband's crazy. He hasn't worked in months. My husband beats me and the kids. He hasn't paid the house payment. He hasn't taken care of anything. In fact, they tell me now he lives down at the graveyard right now. And he runs all night and day and he cuts himself. They say he's got evil spirits in him. And he hasn't been home in a while. And Zacchaeus, I don't have any money. He spent everything we had. Zacchaeus, if you'll come back, I'll get some money together for you. And he says, ma'am, I hate to hear that, but I need the money. But I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to come back in 2 months and you better have the money. Gets in his car. And he began a little upset at Matthew for leaving all this stuff up undone, you know. I can't believe Matthew has gotten this far behind. But he shakes it off and he begins to doubt himself. And he says, man, I'm rustier than I thought. I haven't done this in a long time. But he reassures himself. He said, that's okay. I'll get better at it. I'll get back into the swing of it. And he heads on over to Luke chapter 18. When he gets over there, he turns down Main Street and he sees a guy sitting on the sidewalk begging. He rolls up and he puts his window down. He says, you Bartimaeus? He said, yeah, I'm Bartimaeus. He said, who are you? He said, I'm Zacchaeus. I'm here to collect your taxes. Matthew doesn't work for me anymore. He says, oh, Zacchaeus, you don't understand. I'm blind. I haven't had a job in years. I don't have anything right now. The economy is so bad, we beggars, we can't get anything right now. Nobody's giving us anything. I don't have any money. You've got to help me. If you'll come back, I'll get you some money. And Zacchaeus says, okay, Bart, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to come back in 2 months, and you better have the money because I can't support you forever. I will, Zacchaeus. Thank you so much. Rolls the windows up and he squeals his tires this time. He's mad. And he heads over to John chapter 11. Pulls up to the address in Bethany. He looks on the porch and two women are bawling their eyeballs out. He said, this don't look good. And so he walks up to the door and he says, hi ladies. He said, my name is Zacchaeus. I'm here to collect taxes. Matt doesn't work for me anymore. And they began to weep and they said, oh, Zacchaeus, please, you've got to help us. Our brother, he made all the money and he died. We buried him yesterday. He's gone. We don't have any money left. We spent all the money on the funeral expenses. But if you'll come back next week, we'll get some money together and we'll have it. He said, okay, ladies, I've got to come back in 2 months anyway. So I'll come back, but don't make me come back for nothing. I need the money. And so he takes off back to Jericho. 2 months pass. He noticed that he's got to go back and check the route again. And he thinks to himself, I wonder what Matthew's doing now. I sure thought he would have been back by now. I wonder what he's doing. So he heads on over to Matthew 5. And he gets there and knocks on the door. And a young lady answers the door. And he says, hello, my name is Zacchaeus. I came by a couple of months ago to get my taxes. And I'd like to see your mother. And the lady goes, no, Zacchaeus, it's me. I'm her. No, wait a minute. You said you were dying. You were, I know, but it's me, Zacchaeus, and I have your money. I have your money. I knew you was coming back. And he goes, no, wait a minute. What happened? And she said, I'd love to tell you, Zacchaeus. What happened was, not long after you left, a man named Jesus passed by. And I wanted to get to him because I was told that he could help me when nobody else could. And she said, I got in the line and it was pressing of a crowd. It was huge. And somebody knocked me down. But I noticed when I looked up, I could see right between two people. And I reached my hand through and I touched the hem of his garment. And Zacchaeus, I've never been the same. I'm well. It's me. Jesus, heal my life. Zacchaeus, you've got to meet Jesus. And Zacchaeus says, okay, I'm happy for you, ma'am. Thank you for the money. And he leaves. He gets in his car and he's kind of shaking. He said, that's kind of weird stuff right there. And happy for her. And he drives over to Gadara, pulls up to Gadara, and he sees that the fence has been fixed and the grass has been cut and the house has been painted. He said, oh, good. This might be a good thing. And he goes up and he knocks on the door. And a man answers the door. And he says, hello. He said, my name is Zacchaeus. I came to collect the taxes. And I'd like to see the lady of the house. And the man says, you mean my wife? He says, well, wait a minute. She told me that you was crazy. She told me you had evil spirits in you. You hadn't worked. What are you talking about? He says, she lied to me. He says, no, she didn't lie to you, Zach. Let me explain to you. He goes, well, what happened? He says, man, Zacchaeus, all I know is I did. I beat my wife. I beat my kids. And there's an evil spirit in me. I was in those graveyards, and Jesus passed by. A man named Jesus passed by. And he looked at me like nobody had ever looked at me before. And he told those spirits to get out of me. And he said, Zacchaeus, I got a job. Here's your money. He gave me back my family. She forgave me. He said, Zacchaeus, you got to meet Jesus. So man, he's really kind of saying, I don't know what's going on now. You know, I don't know what's happening here. And so then he takes off and he heads to the next town and he pulls down Main Street again. He sees a man standing by a light post. He rolls his BMW up there and he said, that looks like Bart. Rolls the window down and, Bart, is that you? And he turns around and he goes, Zacchaeus. He said, man, I'm good to see you. I love that blue BMW. Man, that's my favorite. And old Zacchaeus said, wait a minute, Bart. You've been blind all your life. He said, I have been. He goes, you've been faking it? No. You don't understand. He goes, well, what happened? There's no way. You couldn't see. He said, not long after you left, a man named Jesus came by. And he asked me if I wanted to see. And I told him yes. And Zacchaeus, the next thing I know, the first person I've ever seen was Jesus. Zacchaeus, I was blind, but now I see. Zacchaeus says to himself on his way. So he goes, I have your money. Takes his money and he begins to drive off. And he said, now I think I've been bamboozled. I like the word bamboozled. I don't get to use it a lot. But I determined I was going to use it in this sermon. He was bamboozled. All right? And so he said, I'm getting played. So he heads off over to John chapter 11, Bethany, and he pulls up. And there's nobody outside. But he walks up on there and he knocks on the door. And a handsome young man answers the door. And he says, hey, I'm here to see Mary and Martha. I came by a couple of months ago. My name is Zacchaeus. I collect the taxes. And the man says, you mean my sisters? He says, no way. No way. It's impossible. That can't happen. There's no way. They told me you had died. What? And he starts looking for the candid camera. Or am I being punked? Am I getting caught on tape? What's going on? He's looking for video cameras. He says, no, Zacchaeus. No, let me explain. He said, I did die. And he says, Zacchaeus, they buried me. All I can tell you is it was dark, and I don't remember anything except I heard a voice, Lazarus, come forth. And Zacchaeus, all I remember doing is standing up. They took the grave clothes off of me, and I saw Jesus. Man, he gave me life. Zacchaeus, you need to meet Jesus. And I have your money. So Zacchaeus takes off, heads back to Jericho. Now, it may not have happened just like that. But something caused Zacchaeus. He heard something about Jesus that caused him to climb a tree as a grown man and see who he was. People need to see what happens when Jesus passes by. People need to see our changed lives. No matter how intelligent you are, no matter how many abilities you have, no matter how much your cleverness, people need to see that Jesus has passed by your life and they need to see Jesus in you. And so my message for you this morning is, what did Zacchaeus see when he first met Jesus? What was Zacchaeus seeing from that tree when he looked down? The first thing I want you to see here is he saw that Jesus was looking for him. And let me tell you, Jesus is looking for you this morning as well. He saw that Jesus was looking for him. Jesus could have got busy and just passed the tree by. But Jesus, God of the universe, he's busy with all these people. And he looks up. He sees him. Jesus was looking for Zacchaeus. And let me tell you, Jesus knows you. He knows everyone in this room this morning. He knows you. And he knew Zacchaeus. Secondly, he realized that Jesus already knew him. He called him by name. He didn't just look up to the tree and say, hey guy, you need to get out of that tree. That's not what he said. He looked up in that tree and he said, Zacchaeus, come down quickly. Get out of that tree. He knew him by name. And let me tell everyone in this room this morning, Jesus knows your name. He knows your name. Thirdly, he saw that Jesus wanted him. Jesus received Zacchaeus joyfully, and Zacchaeus received Jesus joyfully. He wanted him. When no one else wants you, you can know this. Jesus wants you. Jesus knows you. Jesus will call you by name. Amazing. And then he saw that Jesus loved him. Zacchaeus, you come down. Not, hey, you come down. Zacchaeus, come. I am going to your house today. He loved him. You see, Zacchaeus, nobody loved him. All the Jews hated him. And yet this man, Jesus, knew him, called him by name, and said, I'm going to your house. And he loved him. Amazing, isn't it? That's amazing. You see, you know me, and even though we're relatively new here, you know me. You know me by name. You know if I speak. You know a little bit about me. And the folks that I've been their pastor for many years, you know me better. But you really only know of me. You really don't know me. You know my name. You know my position. You know some of my personality. You know a little bit of what I do. But you really don't know me. You know of me. Now, my wife, Connie, we've been married 37 years this year, and we've known each other for 39 years in college. And there's nobody in this world knows me better than Connie. My mom knew me, but my wife knows me. She knows things I wish she didn't know. She knows things I've tried to keep away from her, and she still knows them. And she knows everything. And she knows the good side of me, and she knows the bad side of me, and yet she still loves me. But she still don't know all of me. There's still a person in here that my wife doesn't know. And yet Jesus knows that. Jesus knows you. And he still loves you. Amen. Aren't you glad somebody loves you and they know you? He cannot love you anymore. You might be out here saying, what else can I do for God to make him love me more? And let me tell you this morning, you can't do anything to make God. Long before you were born, he loved you. And Paul says in Galatians 2:20, gave himself for you. Before you ever had a name, Jesus knew you. And he died for you. He died for you long before you ever said you'd go to church. He knew you and loved you. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world. God loved all of his creation that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The only two reasons a person gets saved, so you won't perish and you have life. And he did that. And he knew you. And he still did it for you. Why did Jesus come? Verse 10 tells us, to seek and to save the lost. To seek and to save the lost. Zacchaeus received Christ that day. Right? And you say, well, Kevin, how do you know that he received Christ? It doesn't say that he came to Christ. But Zacchaeus actually was a man who was blind, but now he sees. Zacchaeus was actually a man who was dead, but now he lives. That was Zacchaeus. Jesus said that it was easier for a live camel to go through. If I had a needle up here, you know, I have to have glasses. If it's got to be a big needle for me right now. But I'll try to do a fishing hook or something, and the grandkids say, Paw, we'll do that for you. And so he said, Jesus, this is the God of the universe. He says, you can have a camel here. And he said, you can have a little needle here. And Jesus, God's son, said it would be easier for that camel to go through the eye of this needle than for a rich man who hath need of nothing to come to me. And guess what Jesus finished it with? But nothing is impossible with God. Isn't that cool? He said, for that man to come to me, it's going to this camel could go through this needle. Amazing. You say, well, Kevin, how do you know he was saved? Well, let me put it to you this way. His life totally changed. The scripture said that while Jesus was in his house, we don't have any record that Jesus whispered in his ear, stand up and give everything you have to the poor. No. Zacchaeus stood up and said, half what I have all goes to the poor, and I'm going to pay back fourfold anybody I've defrauded. I've seen men fake religion. I've been to prisons. I've been to jails. I've seen men get God because they wanted to save their marriage. And then as soon as it split up, they didn't want God anymore. I've seen all of it. But I'll tell you what, I've never seen anybody fake religion by giving half of their stuff away. Right? I've never seen anybody fake religion by going back and paying back everybody fourfold that they've taken from. I've never seen them fake it that way. Amazing stuff. Man, I can imagine that when Zacchaeus went to the next tax convention, it was held in Las Vegas. That's the best city I could come up with. Right? And so he goes to Las Vegas, everybody comes in, and all of a sudden his friends come by, and all of a sudden Zacchaeus is standing there, and one of his good buddies come in and said, hey, Zach, yeah, what's going on? He says, you look different. There's something different about you, Zach. What's happened? And I can just imagine Zacchaeus say, I'm glad you ask. Amen. I'm glad you ask. One day, Jesus passed by. And he changed my life. He gave me the happiness I was missing. He gave me the peace I'd never had. He made life make sense, even though it stinks sometimes. And I gave my life to Jesus. Why did he come? The musicians will make their way to the platform. Why did he come? I'm going to say it this way, just to make sure we're fair. I don't mean to be negative. I just mean to be truthful. Jesus did not come just so you could feel good. And I hope you feel good. Jesus did not come just so we could gather at church and feel good about ourselves. And I'm so glad we gathered at church and worship Jesus this morning. Jesus didn't come for you to be comfortable. And I hope you're comfortable. He did not come so that you could have a family. And boy, isn't family great? I appreciate family, but that's not why God came. And he did not come so you could have a better way to live. And I hope you're doing real well this morning. Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. That's what brought us here today. The reason you and I showed up on this Christmas weekend instead of somewhere else, you want to know why? Because you're remembering right now the day Jesus passed by you. Right? You remember that day. And that's what made you get up when you're thinking, I'd like to do something else, but something kept drawing you. Something kept drawing you. Galatians 4 puts it this way. But when the fullness of time had come at the right time, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. That's why he came. Listen to this. And because you're sons, when you come to Christ by faith, because you did that, listen to this. God has sent the Spirit of his Son, that Jesus we're talking about. God sent his Spirit into our hearts. That's what brings us. That's why we're together. That's what causes us to get up on a Wednesday night and come, to go out and have a class, go out and feed people, go out and help people, to give more than we're going to give more. What causes us to do that, to allow Faith Bridge to be here? It's because he's put his Spirit of his Son in our hearts. And that's why God is going to bless us real good this next year. He's blessed us real good this past year. And our God keeps getting, my dad used to say when he preached, gooder and gooder. Right? God gets gooder and gooder. Take hope, believer. The best is yet to come. He's coming again. And he's put his Spirit in our hearts, man. You can make it. It might suck out there right now for you, but you can make it because his Spirit is in you. And he's got it all covered. And you can be part of seeking the lost, knowing their name, loving them the way Jesus loved them. And let me just tell you the truth of the matter. People who die without Christ, people who say, this life is too good, I've got to go experience it, and they reject Jesus Christ, they spend an eternity without Jesus forever and ever and ever. And we may never forget that. I just never forget it. That's the truth. A Christmas season next week, this Friday. If you have Christmas and Jesus is in a manger and all you have is time with family, and thank God for it, and all you can have is the best food of the year and a bunch of gifts, then Christmas is nothing but a winter break. Christmas without the Savior will make no impact on eternity. Until Jesus passes by you and you receive him as your Savior, Christmas will just be that winter break. May this be your moment. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, maybe this will be the moment that Jesus passed. How many of you right now are thinking back to the time Jesus passed by? Amen. Aren't you glad? Can't you identify with these people? Jesus passed by. If you don't know Christ as your Savior this morning, we invite you to come. We'll be here ready to help you. We'll be in the hallways. You come see us as we sing a little bit later in the service. And it's so glad that Jesus was born in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago. He actually became flesh. He wasn't born. He became flesh in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago. But let me tell you, the greatest thing could happen to you Christmas of 2015 is that you let Jesus be born again in you. And that is our prayer. Pastor Paul and I have prayed. We've talked. It is our sincere desire that this church give its best for 2016. Because there are people who will benefit for eternity with our faithfulness to preach the gospel message. Thank you so much. Let's stand with our heads bowed. Paul will come after. Heavenly Father, we ask that you would quieten our hearts, and may today be a new day for those that don't know Christ. And Father, for all of us who have kind of let that whole thing die off in our heart, may you revive us this morning, and may you take us back to that day that you changed our hearts and lives. And may we unite together to work together, to give all that we can, like he gave half of all of he had, all of that he had. Father, help us to have that Spirit of God alive in our hearts so that we can see some miraculous things happen this year. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's sing together, and then Pastor Paul wants to come and share some things with you.
Tell you what, I'm so glad I was here for that this morning. What a wonderful, encouraging word, Kevin. We're grateful. Well, Christmas is a season of giving, and we seek to be a church that's a blessing to the people around us. One of the things that's gone on in the last 5 to 6 weeks, we reached out to some of the local elementary schools to ask for the names of families that they were aware of that were in need. There's some other neighborhoods close by us where we know there's some need. And so in the past 5 to 6 weeks, we've distributed Thanksgiving and Christmas baskets, and some of those have been met with really a wonderful reception. I got a thank you card this week that I wanted to read to you from one of those families. And this lady writes, "To the Faith Bridge Church family, thank you so much for thinking of us and providing us with a Thanksgiving basket. We feel very blessed by your generosity and had a wonderful meal," and then she adds, "and plenty of leftovers." Listen, thank you again, and then she lists their names and all the children signed on here. God bless you, church, for just being the kind of people that love other people and want to be used to be a part of God's work to seek and save those who are lost. We're going to continue to do this sort of thing. Right now, we're receiving an offering. Our Lottie Moon Christmas offering to go towards our missionaries. We saw a video early in the service with a couple of those that are using a ministry to the deaf as a way to reach them for Christ. I want to encourage you to prayerfully consider. Maybe what you ought to do is look in your family and say, we're going to match the biggest gift we're giving anybody, and that's what we'll give towards our mission interest. Maybe that's a good mental model to follow for you. And if you are at a point where you're a last-minute artist and you need Christmas presents, we got t-shirts, coffee mugs, and bumper stickers out in the atrium. Rick and Samantha Reed will meet you there. And listen, I hope you have an amazing week. We'll be here for Christmas Eve services Thursday evening. And so you can look at the bulletin or go to the website for details. I hope you have a terrific day today. God bless you, church. Merry Christmas.